Today, the leaders of Ukraine made a formal request to the UN for a peacekeeping mission to be deployed in the eastern part of the country, where a tenuous ceasefire between separatists and their Russian allies and government troops is entering its second month. According to some reports, more than 6,000 people have been killed since the violence flared in eastern Ukraine last April after Russia annexed the Black Sea Peninsula of Crimea. NPR's Corey Flintoff is in eastern Ukraine on the road. And Corey, to that request from Ukrainian officials for UN troops or peacekeepers, what are you hearing?
This is something that's been talked about for some time, and both the Russians and the separatists have absolutely rejected the idea. And in fact, they say it would be a violation of the Minsk agreements.
So that doesn't sound like smooth waters after that request today, and we'll keep an eye on that. But meanwhile, where are you and what are you seeing? We know that you tried today to make your way to the front lines in a village called Pesky. What happened?
Well, we got to within about 2 kilometers of the front lines, and we stopped at an outpost that's run by the Pravi Sector Militia. They're associated with an ultra-nationalist Ukrainian party that's called actually Right Sector. And in fact, they're the ones who've been accused by the Russians and by the separatists of being Nazis and fascists and that kind of thing. But in fact, we saw no evidence of that sort of thing in the short time that we were there. What we did hear was incoming mortar fire from the front about 2 kilometers away. We didn't hear any outgoing mortar fire, and the militia members we talked to insist that they've only been in a defensive position, that they haven't been starting the fighting. But they say that the ceasefire has been violated practically every day since it was first put in place.
Well, tell us more about these fighters, pro-government, but not a part of the Ukrainian military. So what exactly are they?
Right. Well, they are a volunteer militia, and they say the only thing that they receive from the army is ammunition. Everything else that they have, including their food and their clothing, is brought to them by volunteers. And we saw that they didn't seem to be terribly well-equipped, especially as far as clothing was concerned. And we didn't see people. I think I only saw one guy who had the full military kit. Everybody else is kind of a motley collection of stuff. So they're in the odd position of not being part of the Ukrainian army. And in fact, I asked the commander there, who's a guy who goes by the nickname of Mongol, if he would withdraw if there was an order from the government to retreat, and he said no.
So those are the fighters that support the government. They say the ceasefire has been broken. What's your sense of whether the separatist fighters have held to the ceasefire agreement?
Well, of course, the separatist side say that they are, in fact, abiding by the ceasefire agreement and that they withdrew their heavy weapons. And, of course, they put the blame on the ceasefire violations squarely on the Ukrainian side. But one thing is that this ceasefire is supposed to be monitored by observers from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. That's the OSCE. And the OSCE has complained recently that the separatists have not allowed them to go to all these various areas to monitor either the full withdrawal of heavy weapons or the issue of ceasefire violations.
Yeah. Well, Corey, we know you're on your way to Mariupol. Remind us the significance of that city and where that's located.
Mariupol is the biggest city in the southern part of eastern Ukraine, and it's important for several reasons. It's a port city, and it also has big mines and metallurgical works there. So it's an important industrial city. It's not very far from the Russian border. And in fact, it's on the way between the Russian border and Crimea. And military analysts have said that it would be a big prize for the separatists and their Russian allies to take because it would be the first step in opening a direct land route to Crimea, which, of course, Russia has annexed.
Any sense of what will happen next? We're going to be talking about President Putin, who did the annexing of Crimea. But any sense of what's going to happen next?
Well, frankly, what we've heard from people that we've talked to just in the past week has been pretty pessimistic. People in Kharkiv, for instance, feel that this ceasefire is just an opportunity for the separatists and the Russians to regroup and rearm themselves. And they believe that there will be further offensives, especially in the spring and especially in the direction of Mariupol and of Pesky.
NPR's Corey Flintoff, who's just a few miles from Pesky in eastern Ukraine. Corey, thank you and take care.
Thank you, Robin.